Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue, the Bible Crossfire Program. Every Sunday night, we appreciate you listening. Last week, we were talking about the changes over the last couple of decades that the Presbyterian Church has made on the issue of homosexuality. Those changes were startling. It was a dramatic difference from what the Presbyterian Church taught in 1978 compared to what they teach today. You know, Romans 1, 24, 26, and 27 tell us the truth about homosexuality. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature." That's talking about lesbians. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." That's talking about gay men. The Bible condemns homosexuality in no uncertain terms. And I want you to notice that the Presbyterian Church, USA, agreed with that in 1978. This is from the minutes of the 190th General Assembly, 1978, United Presbyterian Church in the USA, page 261-262. Here's the quote. "Homosexuality is not God's wish for humanity. On the basis of our understanding that the practice of homosexuality is sin, we are concerned that homosexual believers and the observing world should not be left in doubt about the church's mind on this issue during any further period of study." And so they clearly condemn homosexuality in 1978. But now, reading about the same church, let's see, 37 years later, in 2015, we read this from Time Magazine in March 2015. "The Presbyterian Church made an historic decision to formally recognize gay marriage and allow same-sex couples to marry in its congregations. The denomination voted to redefine the church constitutional marriage to include a commitment between two people." You see the vast difference, the dramatic difference between 1978 and 2015. Now, last week we read a lot of the quotes in between, a lot of the years in between, to show how gradual the change was. But if we just look at the first quote compared to the last quote, 1978 compared to 2015, we see there's a dramatic shift in what the Presbyterian Church taught on homosexuality. Of course, the Old Testament condemned this abominable sin also. Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, "If a man also lieth with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death." And then in the New Testament again, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, "Do you not know that the righteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, neither homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And so the Bible clearly condemns homosexuality. The Bible hasn't changed. The Presbyterian Church has changed from 1978, when they also condemned homosexuality, just like the Bible does, to 2015. They gradually made changes, a dramatic change when you look from first to last. 2015, they accept homosexuality, even gay marriage. You know, a lot of churches have done this. It's not just the Presbyterian Church I'm picking on. They're just an example. A lot of churches have switched over from saying, like the Bible says, that homosexuality is a sin, to saying it's okay. Any of us, basically, that were born before 1985 can see this great shift in society, and then even in churches during our lifetimes. The Bible shows that it's wrong. Now, somebody raised an interesting question to me in the last week about this issue. What about if you're part of a church like the Presbyterian Church USA that has shifted from agreeing with the Bible and condemning gay marriage, condemning all forms of homosexuality? They changed from that over the last several decades to accepting homosexuality, to accepting gay marriage, even to the point that some of their preachers are gay, and that's accepted. They perform gay wedding ceremonies. It's just an acceptance of homosexuality in spite of what the Bible teaches. What if you're a part of a church like that? What should you do? Well, let's talk about that. But before we do, let me mention the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, 877-655-6755. What if you're part of a congregation that now accepts homosexuality? Well, what should you do? What should we do if we find ourselves in that situation? Well, first of all, I want us to notice from a passage like Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 and 5, that congregations that at one time could have been considered faithful to God, because of sin and because of accepting sin, they can now, in the future, be considered apostate churches by God. And in other words, they're not faithful to God anymore. They're not one of God's approved churches. I'm reading from Revelation 2, verse 1, about the church of Ephesus. It says, "And to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And now skipping down to verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So this church was in danger of its candlestick being removed. Jesus is saying, except you repent, your candlestick will be removed. The candlestick there would be representative of God's approval of that local congregation. If you're part of a church, a congregation, that accepts homosexuality, that it says it's okay, that accept gays even in as far as possibly being your preacher, or the preacher holds gay wedding ceremonies, then that church doesn't have its candlestick anymore. They're not living faithful to God, and so God does not recognize them as being faithful to Him anymore. They can't be faithful to God if they're accepting gay marriage. God would have had to have removed their candlestick. So, moving on to 2 John verses 9 through 11, let's read that about this same question. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." And so churches that are accepting gay marriage, like the Presbyterian Church we read about, many other churches have done the same thing over the last several decades, they're not abiding in the doctrine, in the teaching of Christ. So according to 2 John verse 9, they don't have God. And we can't be saved if we don't have God. Now, what if you're part of a church like this? A church that now accepts homosexuals. Suppose you're part of the Presbyterian Church that's accepting homosexuals, or another church that's accepting gay marriage. Well, what does verse 10 and 11 of 2 John tell you about people who are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ? It says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine," meaning the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ, the teaching that Christ brought, "if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." You say, "Pat, I'm part of a church like that, but I don't approve of it." Well, this passage says that if you bid them Godspeed, if the particular congregation you're a member of accepts gay marriage, accepts homosexuality, and you bid them Godspeed, you become a partaker in their evil deeds. Ephesians 5:11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And so, the Bible teaches, even if I'm not committing this particular sin, if I'm part of a congregation that accepts homosexuality, that allows gay marriage, then I'm in danger of losing my salvation because I become a partaker in their evil deeds by helping them or encouraging them in their sin. What should you do if you find yourself in a congregation like that so that you won't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? So that you won't bid Godspeed to this, to these gay marriages and the accepting of homosexuality in these churches? What should you do? Well, how about demand that the congregation change and take a stand for the truth on this issue or any other issue? This issue being the acceptance of homosexuality. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. Galatians 2, verse 5 reads, "To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." So we, when we're talking about this issue of homosexuality, we should not give place to it. No, not for an hour. And then verse 11, it says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed." And so if we're part of a congregation that's has started over the last decade or so accepting homosexuals, we need to withstand them to the face. We don't need to give place to that doctrine, not even for an hour. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you or conduct yourselves like men. Be strong." We're going to have to stand for the truth. We're going to have to demand that this congregation changes and quits, stops approving of homosexuality, stops performing gay wedding ceremonies. We're going to have to conduct ourselves like men and be strong. A lot of people won't do that. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." So many people will just heap to themselves teachers, teaching whatever they want to hear. Teachers, preachers who won't stand for the truth against homosexuality. Churches who won't stand for the truth against homosexuality. And people in those congregations just go along with it instead of opposing it and fighting it with all their spiritual might. Again, the number to call, 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Romans 16:17 tells us what we need to do if we find ourselves as part of a congregation that has changed from the truth to something that is false, like changing to accept gay marriage and homosexuality. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So we need to mark and avoid congregations that show approval for homosexuality and gay marriage. Can't we see that? The Bible severely condemns it. We've shown from these quotes that churches like the Presbyterian Church USA have changed from agreeing with the Bible and condemning homosexuality, understanding that the Bible condemned it, to over the last about 37 years, changing to where they accept any kind of unlawful sexual relationship, including homosexual relationships, gay marriages. These churches have changed to accept that. Now, do you find yourself in one of these churches? Well, you need to demand that they change back to the truth, because only the truth will set us free from sin, John 8:32. And if they won't, you better go out and look for a congregation that will stand for the truth against homosexuality. Because if you don't, you, by bidding them Godspeed, by continuing to go along with that sin that congregation is now involved in, if they accept homosexuality, you become a partaker in their evil deeds because you're bidding them Godspeed in what they do. Is everybody agreed on that? If you don't, give me a call, 877-655-6755. You know, the same thing applies with the issue of women preachers. Same thing applies. In 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, we can read this. "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they should be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." In those two verses, three times, what we call in our society the practice of women preachers, women preaching from the pulpit in the church, condemns it three times. The women are to keep silence in the churches. It's not permitted unto them to speak. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. Yet, way more than half the churches in the United States and Canada, for example, allow women to preach from the pulpit. They didn't used to. If you go back 50 years ago, 75 years ago, they didn't. But they've changed. Just like the Presbyterian Church changed on homosexuality, many churches have changed on homosexuality. They've changed on women preachers. What do you do if you find yourself in a church that allows women to preach from the pulpit? What do you do? Well, as we said, the same thing you need to do if you find yourself in a congregation that accepts homosexuality. You need to demand that that church change on that issue, on any issue that's they're practicing different from what the Bible says. You need to be strong and stand for the truth. And if they won't change back to putting themselves in subjection to God's Word and doing what God's Word says on homosexuality or women preachers, then you need to find a congregation that will be faithful to God's Word. Because again, if you bid someone Godspeed who's not abiding in the teaching of Christ, 2 John verses 9 through 11, then you become a partaker in their evil deeds. Even though you don't commit the sin per se yourself, you become a partaker in their evil deeds. Wouldn't it be a shame if you lived according to God's Word yourself, but you were lost because you worshiped with a congregation that wasn't following God's Word, that wasn't following the truth? And by worshiping with that congregation, you bid them Godspeed and became a partaker in their evil deeds. You had fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You continued to worship and attend a congregation that had lost its candlestick. God no longer recognized it as a congregation that was faithfully following His Word, a church that belonged to Him. And you just went along with that. The same thing applies to divorce and remarriage. We brought that up last week in connection with gay marriage. Isn't it inconsistent for a church to say they're against gay marriage but to accept adulterous marriages? That's inconsistent. You know, if gay marriage is wrong and people who are in gay marriages have to get out of gay marriages to be considered faithful to God, then the same thing would be true about adulterous marriages. You say, Pat, what's an adulterous marriage? How could two people who are married to each other commit adultery? Well, Jesus talks about adulterous marriages in Matthew 19:9. He says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." So here's a man who divorces his wife for any reason other than fornication. Jesus said if he remarries, he commits adultery. That's an adulterous marriage, an unscriptural marriage. And whoever marries that put away woman commits adultery. Does the congregation you worship with accept adulterous marriages? If they do, then you need to take a stand and demand that they change back to not accepting adulterous marriages. And if they won't change, find yourself a congregation that will faithfully follow God's Word. Marja from New York, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I just want to clarify what was said about women preachers. So you're saying that if a woman is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, she's going to go to hell.
You know, I read in 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, it says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, Marja, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." So yes, a woman should not speak in the church. Women who are teaching from the pulpit, that's what we normally call women preachers, they're in violation of this passage. And, of course, we know that sin is the transgression of the law, God's law, and that sin causes spiritual death, Romans 6, verse 23, Isaiah 59, verse 2. Does that answer your question, Marja?
I just wanted to be clear. I don't agree with that, but I'm just saying, I just wanted to be clear that that's what you're saying, that, you know, these women, I hear some powerful women of God preaching the love of Christ, and I don't believe that they will lose their salvation and go to hell because they are teaching and their Bible believing women that they're going to go to hell. The other thing I wanted to ask about, because I know that that is true as far as adulterous marriages, but that is before you become a believer in Christ. So if you are a woman who may have been married previous to becoming a believer, and you get, and your husband goes out and cheats on you, whatever the case may be, and you guys get a divorce, and then you become a believer, are you saying that this woman cannot be married again?
Well,
or man, whatever.
First of all, it makes no difference when the marriage and divorce occurred, whether they became before they were Christian or after. But what you mentioned, Marja, it was somebody who divorced their husband because the husband was cheating on her. Jesus allows a divorce for fornication. What he doesn't allow is a divorce for any other reason, Marja. Back to 1 Corinthians 14:34, Marja, why don't you agree with that verse that says that women are not to speak in the church?
Because there's also scripture that talks about we are all supposed to be evangelists, and we are all supposed to spread the good news, all of us. It doesn't specify whether you're a woman or a man. I mean, I get the scripture that you're saying, but I just don't believe that a woman who is, you know, like I just heard, I'm not a preacher myself, you know, but I'm just saying, you know, my pastor is a man, and we had a woman, a guest speaker at our church a couple weeks ago, and she was on fire for God. And I just don't believe that she would lose her salvation given the message that she gave. And the other thing is, when I grew up, I was in a Pentecostal church, and I mean, they were, you know, no women shouldn't wear pants, and they literally, no pants. You know, my grandmother quit her job at Bethlehem Steel because she...
Marja, I'm going to have to let you get off the air right now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your kind call, okay? Marja is a good illustration, a very kind and nice person, Marja, but she's a good illustration of a person who pits one passage against another without trying to reconcile them. We see in the Bible that women were to teach the Bible, like in Titus 2:5, the older women were to teach the younger women. But 1 Corinthians 14:35 and 34 and 35 says they're not to teach, not to speak in the church. Instead of ignoring 1 Corinthians 14 and saying, I don't really believe that because we know that women are to teach the Bible, as we find in Titus 2, what we should do is find where the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And that's easy to do. If in one place the Bible says that a woman should teach the gospel, another place says she should not teach the gospel in the church, then we can conclude that when the whole church has come together into one place, 1 Corinthians 14:24, chapter 14, verse 23, the woman is not to teach. But if she's at home and she wanted to teach a ladies' Bible class, there'd be no problem with that. That's what Titus 2, that'd be parallel to what Titus 2 is talking about. There's no contradiction. We're not supposed to believe one and ignore another. Both passages are right. Again, if you're part of a congregation that accepts homosexuality or adulterous marriages or women preachers, you need to take a stand for the truth and demand that that congregation stops that, or you need to leave that congregation and find a church that's faithfully following God's Word. Send me an email, patdonahue@bailsouth.net, BibleCrossfire@email.com.